footsteps, his left foot drags behind my right. I keep walking from daybreak till falling night. Days turn into weeks and years turn into lifetimes. Just keep walking like I've been walking for a thousand years.
Broadcasting before and probably after the rapture, it's the Drew Marshall Show.
Walk away from yesterday, walk away tomorrow. Walking to escape, or escape from your affliction. You'll be walking in a great circle, in a circle of addiction. And did you ever wonder what you've been carrying since the world was black? See yourself in a looking glass.
Well, we're back. Thanks for tuning in, folks. You know, we have 150 countries listening. Did you know that, Daryl?
I did not know that.
150 countries.
That's quite a few.
I didn't even know there were that many. I left school in grade 9. I don't know this stuff. Anyway, listen, we're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're on joyradio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250. And this October, right after my first grandchild is born, I'm going to be heading out on the Camino de Santiago. For well over 1,000 years, millions of pilgrims have walked the Way of St. James, the most popular route being almost 800 kilometers. I begin in France, heading over the Pyrenees Mountains across northern Spain to the Atlantic. And just to make things interesting, Daryl, I don't know if you knew this. You're just learning all sorts of things today.
I am. You're never old, too old to learn things.
I will be doing the entire trail in a vow of silence.
Really?
Yeah. I've been practicing. I'm in my 13th week of one day a week not talking.
Seriously?
Yep. It's tough, man. Let me tell you.
I couldn't do it.
Could you make that beatbox sound again?
No. It was a complete accident.
That's pretty good. Anyway, along the way, I'll be writing about my experiences interacting with other pilgrims without being able to speak to them and posting on the Drew Marshall Show Facebook page. The plan is to finish the Camino on my 50th birthday, November 30th. So every Saturday in July, the last month of season 13, I'll be interviewing a variety of Camino gurus in order to prepare for my upcoming bucket list experience. Do you have anything on your bucket list that you would like to do?
No, I'm pretty much ready to go.
You're done?
Yeah.
You're cooked.
Yeah, I had a good run.
Anyway, today's Camino guru, and I know all the Camino gurus are going to really hate being called that, but oh well, is Rebecca. And Rebecca, boy, what a story she has. Well, that's kind of why she's on the show today. An incredible story. Rebecca Scott basically left, you know, sort of the whole North American busyness thing and now is a full-time Camino person. That makes any sense whatsoever. Rebecca, thank you for joining us. What's the what time is it right there, right now?
Right now it's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock in the evening.
Well, thank you for staying up so late. I know you Camino people like to go to bed. Is the sun still up?
Oh, the sun is shining bright. But okay. The sun doesn't go down here till about 11 o'clock at night.
Ooh, that's nice. That is nice.
Yes, it is. The sky is full of stars. It's amazing out here.
Whereabouts are you?
I am about halfway down the Camino Francés, about 265 kilometers east of Santiago de Compostela. So people arrive here who start where you're starting. They get here about 2 weeks into their Camino, and they have another 2 weeks to go.
So you're about the halfway point. Do some people stop at your place? And I mean really stop? Like they don't continue?
Yes, they do. Some people break down here, and they can't go any farther, or they run out of time. They need to go back to work, back to real life again.
Yeah.
And some people start here, though. A lot more people start here than stop here. Because you don't have to start over in the Pyrenees. You can start anywhere
on the trail. So I've come to understand lately that there are a variety of Camino paths. There are a variety of trails. But is there not one main one? And let's just touch on the history, because you are first Camino guru, so let's go way back. This is what I understand. The Camino was first sort of... I mean, it really is what it is, because Martin Sheen first walked along it, right? I mean, that's how it got invented.
No, that was Shirley MacLaine who invented
it. Oh, that's right. That's right.
No, really. It's about 1,000 years old as we know it. Some people say it goes much farther back, that there was a temple to Neptune out on the edge of the coast, the Atlantic coast in Galicia, and people have been walking to there for even longer. There's not a whole lot of paper evidence of that, though. But we do know that well over 1,000 years ago, a king from Asturias walked Camino that we now call the Primitivo down over the mountains to what we know as Santiago de Compostela to honor the remains of the Saint James, the son of Zebedee, who supposedly his body had been discovered there in a miraculous way. And since then, for political reasons and for all kinds of other reasons, people have been beating a track there. Hmm. The path you're following starts in the Pyrenees, and that's sort of like the main pathway that people took from all over Europe. They sort of all converged there along that border in Navarre, and the main track goes right across the top of Spain to the shrine city of Santiago de Compostela.
Okay,
and
so
that's where I live. Yeah.
So, again, just to sort of recap, apparently they took the body of St. James from, I would imagine, Jerusalem or somewhere around there, and took him all the way across Europe through France or Spain, and then over into, apparently he's buried at the cathedral. Is that just rumor, or do we have verification of this?
Well, it depends on your beliefs. It's lots of song and legend attached to it. According to the Bible, St. James was martyred in Palestine soon after Jesus's. He's the first Christian, one of the first Christian martyrs. And his body was collected by his apostle, his followers, and taken to Spain, where he had gone to evangelize soon after Jesus's ascension. He was not a great evangelist, but he went back to Jerusalem to check on things and was killed there. His followers brought him back to Spain, supposedly in a boat made of stone with sails that were blown upon by angels, and all kinds of wild and crazy stories grew up around it. And just why he ended up where he was, it has all kinds of magical stories attached. Mm. But what's there now is actually a Roman cemetery, and there are tombs under there, and a shepherd supposedly had a vision of light shining on this tomb, and to them, it's St. James rediscovered. You dig around in the history, it could also be the grave of a early Christian bishop of Spain who was named a heretic and was buried in the same vicinity by his followers, a guy named Priscillian. But that's all very... The church doesn't care much for that idea.
No.
St. James is much more cool.
Right, yeah. Okay, so, but this trail, I mean, thousands, probably million. I don't know how many people have walked this trail over 1,000 years. Why? Because it's a trail? Because it's there? Because there are stories attached to the trail? Why are people walking this trail?
Well, there were all different reasons throughout history. In the medieval days, people did it. I think a lot of people did it as a way to get out of the house and go have an adventure, but in a Christian way. It was approved by everyone. The prisoners and criminals who were convicted were also given this as their penance for their crimes, and it was also a good way to get bad guys out of town.
But that's why I'm going.
Well, also, but nowadays people do it. Some people do it as a sort of physical challenge. It's a long way. It's a very hard track, but it's got a lot of infrastructure and support for pilgrims. There's places to stay. It's a low-cost way to see a really interesting part of the world. Lots of incredible architecture and landscapes and very good food and wine and all different price ranges. Supposedly, you're able to do this with a vow of, walk it with no money, although it's rather foolish thing to try to do nowadays because it's become a lot more commercial as well as more and more people do it.
So are there arguments amongst the Camino gang as to what a true pilgrim is?
Oh, yeah, that's a favorite discussion among all pilgrims. Yeah. No one hates a tourist as much as a tourist, and it's always a big question is, you know, which one of us is a tourist and which one of us is truly the pilgrim, and there's all different qualifications. And if you walk it with and you stay in a hotel, then that disqualifies you as a pilgrim. But then a lot of people today are saying, well, everyone walks their own Camino. You're not allowed to judge anybody. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Someone said to me recently that the Camino actually starts, because there's so many trails, the Camino starts from your front door. Is that true, do you think?
Well, yeah, if you can do. But, you know, if you live in Toronto, it's a, kind of a long piece of water between here and there.
No, but what they're saying is that your journey on this trail begins as soon as you leave, not just as soon as you, you know, where's the starting point of the Camino? Well, it's your front door.
Well, it's when, you know, I think yours was already started, Drew.
Uh-oh.
It started when you decided that you were going to do it.
Yeah.
When you were bitten by that bug, when you decided this is something you wanted to take on. And that's when it begins, I think.
Rebecca, why did you do it?
Well, I did it because I was fascinated by the whole idea that there's still Christian pilgrimage. I've always been a hiker. I've always been kind of athletic. I discovered this wonderful place. I'm an architecture fan, too. And I came to Spain, and I saw this amazing, pretty unique architecture all along this trail that was engineered for pilgrims and pilgrimage. And it was Christian. I've been a Christian most of my life. So, wow, I got to do this. And the more people I met who had done it and the people who work along this path are unique, really wonderful sort of subculture of people. And that's when I decided I had to do it, and I made room in my life to do it. And it has really transformed me. Hmm. And I see it as continuing to transform people who are open to that sort of thing. There's a lot of people who just come here and have a nice hike as well. You know, you don't have to have a big spiritual woo-woo experience, but many people do. And if you come here with an open heart and an open mind, it will change you. It will deliver.
On the phone with Rebecca Scott, an acknowledged Camino busybody, I love that term, was born in Pittsburgh, but now lives in Spain on the Camino. She grew up in a military family, moved 10 times in 15 years. I did that too, but that's because I was running from the law. Rebecca attended university and Anglican seminary, and then worked in daily newspaper and magazine journalism for 22 years for a variety of U.S. publications, specializing in travel, religion, and various features. And it was on a travel assignment in 93 that she discovered the Camino de Santiago, just as it was breaking on the North American consciousness, and fell in love with Spain. And then Rebecca returned to walk the 500-mile or almost 800-kilometer Camino Francés. Do you say Francis? Francais? Francais? Francais?
Camino Francés. Yeah.
Camino Francés. In 2001, and life was never the same afterwards. I want to explore that. Life was never the same afterwards. You know, I find that, I'm sorry, you're going to hate me for this, but I find that hard to believe. Because, you know, I've had a variety of interesting experiences over the years, and life was never the same for about a month afterwards. And then it kind of gets back to what was. What happened to you?
Well, the first thing was that I did the Camino. I had never really set a big goal for myself and achieved it like I did that. And that made me realize just how able I was to achieve what I wanted to. You know, it didn't have to be totally sucked into the American dream and have, you know, the two kids, the house, the mortgage, the great job. I could change my life. Hmm. And when I got to the Camino and saw these people being leveled, you know, I met all these very powerful, important people, simple people, normal people, really weirdo people, that we all were reduced to one thing. We were all just pilgrims together. And we were all aimed at one goal together. And we helped each other. And I saw just how the capability of humanity to help humanity, regardless of who we are, what our background was. And I saw that the world could actually become better. And I lost a lot of my cynicism then. And just saw that, you know, kindness and doesn't cost anything, and decency is its own reward. And and I could become part of something new and lovely and wonderful. And I decided to do that. I decided to that I wanted to be a part of this. And my life changed a lot then. It seems like a lot of things fell into place for me to make me able to do this.
Rebecca, could you do me a favor and paint a little bit of a picture for us of what I will experience along the way? And I know it's different for everybody, but I mean logistically, not, you know, spiritually what I might experience, et cetera, but, you know, for example, I would probably fly into where? You fly into Paris, do you, and then take a train to the starting point in the other side of the Pyrenees? What are the logistics?
Well, you can do that, and you can fly into Paris and take the train to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, this little charming French town at the foot of the mountains. Or if you are, I live in Spain and I've always been more of a Spanish consciousness, you fly into Madrid and take the train to Pamplona, where they're running the bulls this week, and get a bus up to the top of the mountain. You don't have to go into France to start this trip. It's a little bit easier, and you never see a Spaniard do that. They start at the top of the mountain in Roncesvalles.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk. You just get up in the morning and you fill up your water bottle. You find out if the weather is okay to be in the mountains, and you start walking. The first couple days are killer. They're very tough. That we lose a lot of our starter out people who aren't quite as fit as they should be, or don't have the best boots or equipment. And a lot of people drop out in the first week. It's really very much very hard on people. And you walk up a mountain. If you're starting where you're starting, you walk uphill for about 30 kilometers straight up.
So in other words, the Spaniards are smart, because if they take the bus to the top and they start walking down, I mean, come on, that's just smarter, isn't it?
I think so. But I think they think that, you know, what's France got that we don't got?
Exactly.
But walking downhill is no treat either, I'm here to tell you, especially if you've walked uphill the day before and you go pounding yourself down the next day.
Yeah.
It's no picnic.
I remember years ago, and I mean years ago, I climbed the backside of Half Dome in Yosemite National Park.
Wow, yeah.
Got up in the morning and trekked all the way up there and got to the top of Half Dome, and then coming down was the hardest, because my legs were so exhausted that I forgot you need muscles to slow down. I was running down like do you remember Gumby? Do you ever remember the Gumby show? I looked like Gumby running down a hill. It was awkward. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
Good thing you didn't crash and burn.
No.
Yeah, well, anyway, when you get over that first hump, you know, you don't even have to start at the hump. And people have their doubts. I just tell them to get to Pamplona and start walking from there, because Pamplona is gorgeous. You're in the middle of wine country. The hills roll. It's an agricultural, lovely landscape. You're in the Basque country, and you start hearing all different languages. Your fellow pilgrims start to coalesce into, you know, little friendship groups, and it's just gorgeous over there, green and bright, and very wealthy part of the country. And as you walk along, the landscape changes, and you get onto the meseta, which is flat and long and very high up. And that's where I live, and more like the prairies, so a little like Manitoba, I guess. Get a little farther along, you hit the mountains. By then, you're pretty fit; you can handle it. But the mountain towns are beautiful, thatched roof, little ancient structures, and lots of good food up there. Down the other side, and you're in Galicia, which is sort of like Ireland. It's very green and pleasant. Lots of beautiful stone villages. And, you know, by then, toward the end of that, you get to Santiago de Compostela, and then you're done. And it takes a long time to do all this, but it goes by very quickly. And every day seems like a month, because you have so much going on, and you're living small and low to the ground, and you're making very intimate, very close friendships very quickly. And it's like an instant family for a lot of people. Sometimes you have a lonesome Camino, but when you're doing the long-term one, you're much more open to new people. And
do you ever get stuck with someone that you just don't like?
Oh, yeah, sure. But all you got to do is either slow down or speed up.
That reminds me of walking back and forth to school when I was a kid. Hey, wait up. No, they wouldn't wait up, you know.
Well, either that, the one I found a trick to do, too, is somebody just won't leave you alone. You pull out a rosary and just hold it in your hand and walk with the rosary in your hand. And people leave you way alone. They respect that. They don't want to be caught up with somebody who might, you know, talk about Jesus to them.
No, you wouldn't want that. I was thinking of maybe just not bathing, not washing.
Oh, yeah, there are some people who don't bathe. But I think they're like that all the time, not just on the
phone. That's funny. Rebecca Scott, you know, I was hesitating bringing this up because I can imagine that, you know, the real Camino people would look at the movie with Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez called The Way on Netflix. They would look at that and kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, come on, that's so Hollywood. What did the movie The Way, get right?
Oh, they got a lot right. I think it's a lovely movie. And it really captures what the landscape is like. They have a few continuity problems, and it seems like they wrote the thing as they went along. But there's a few things they did, they got really pretty dead wrong, but the things they got right, they got the landscape, they got the deep friendships of the people and the troubledness of the people walking, the humanity of the characters. Some of it was a little, there's some serious acting going on here and there. They shot one of the scenes very near where I live, and it's so sweet to see that beautiful wide open bit of countryside and the way they stack the big straw bales up. That's right here. I love it. Seeing my own place being starring in a movie, it was great.
Speaking of your own place, tell me about Peaceable Kingdom.
Oh, Peaceable Kingdom is we have a little farming compound in a town called Moratinos. There's 20 people who live in this town, and it's a little farming village. We live on the edge of town in what used to be a sheep farm, and it's just a house in the middle that was a granary and a barn and a front patio and a back huerta, a little orchard in the back. And we've had to do a major, major overhaul here because no one had lived here for 20 years before we moved in. But we've turned it into pretty much a North American style house. But we have a lot of space, so we have lots of animals, and we have space for pilgrims to stay here who stop by if they like or if they hear about it. And we've always had pilgrims in here, and that's what makes it so interesting because everybody has a story. And
what's one of the most unique stories you've heard from a pilgrim?
One of the pilgrims who stayed here long-term, some people stay longer and help us out when we have a big project going on. One of them turned out, as you said, to be a fugitive from the law. A couple of them did. Those are the real interesting ones. he's on the most wanted list. It's pretty hairy. He's a nice guy, too.
Did he have any ISIS insignia or stitching on his underwear or anything like that that said he was part of Al-Qaeda?
He's just an American boy. He's not He's not any kind of terrorist. One time we had a bunch of guys stay here, young men walking together in a group from all over the world, all different nationalities. And one of them was a South African guy who was Jewish. And it was Passover. So we had Passover here at our house. All these boys had been fasting all day in unity with him, even though they were all different faiths. And we sang the Kol Nidre. It was just lovely to have that here on the Camino. Because it's not just a Christian thing. It's for everyone. And it's a very Christian place, don't get me wrong. But it's for everyone because, you know, God's a lot bigger than Christianity or Catholicism.
I've heard.
And God inhabits this path, because there's a lot of juju here.
Sorry, did you say there are a lot of Jews?
No, there's a lot of juju. There's a lot of, spiritual power going on. Yeah, right. There's a lot of Jews, too. But.
So spiritually, do you think you're different than when you were Miss Media Lady? You know, I guess you picked up, dropped everything, got out of media, sold up, and moved to Spain in 2006. So for the last 10 years, what's different about you spiritually?
Oh, well, and before I knew a lot about religion. I talked to religion, and I wrote it, and I interviewed people like you do. And that's what I did for my living. But I knew about religion, and I was religious, but now I live it. And I don't have to tell people about God. I can show people about God. Because I don't have to, I'm not talking anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm being. And that's a good thing. It's very much more real to me. And I meet so many more really wonderful, faith-filled people. And I meet so many more really needy people who are ready to receive and to hear and to know. And because they've been walking for 2 weeks, they're coming face to face with the devil inside, or they're having these conversion experiences out there, and they don't know what's happening to them. And it's a wonderful place to be if you know something about God or if you have a faith, because you can really help other people discover the faith that's coming alive in themselves.
I would imagine every pilgrim, when they come across another pilgrim, and let's just be clear about this to people who don't know. You walk this trail on your own, but you run into people, and sometimes you walk with people, sometimes you don't. It's not an organized tour or anything like that. And there are no sort of rules, really. Or are there? Wait a minute. Are there rules?
Well, it's just your general don't be an idiot kind of thing. yeah, don't be a jerk. Don't hog up all the hot water when you get to the albergue. Don't steal stuff. You know, it's the usual. A lot of people like to make rules for other people. And that happens a lot. But you just have to kind of mind your own business. And don't be too judgmental of other people. Because everybody's walking a hard way.
Sure.
Everybody's suffering somehow.
And I would imagine every pilgrim would want to, you know, when they come across another pilgrim, hi, my name's Steve. Hi, I'm Sarah. And where are you from? And, you know, you have that conversation. But would the question not always come up, why are you doing this?
Oh, of course, yeah. That's the mixer in freshman year. You know, what's your major?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Where are you from? What brought you here? How many Caminos have you done? Because there's a lot of repeat offenders out here. And there's 8 million stories, and there's going to be about 300,000 people do this Camino this year, and every one of them is going to have their own reason for it.
Do you ever come across somebody who says, I don't want to tell you?
Yeah, or people who don't know, or they're just doing it for sport,
yeah,
or, you know, for exercise. And there are some abuses, too, I think, and although you're not supposed to be judgmental, there are people who do it for, I think, the wrong reasons, and that comes up, you know, they have to expect that if they're going to do it. And because I think it is a holy place, and it deserves respect as it is an internationally recognized holy place. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, as well as the main street of Europe, they call it. And it's also a spiritual path. And there are people here doing it for very spiritual reasons, and they sometimes should be treated with special respect.
Yeah.
They are using the path for its intended purpose. And there's all different people using it for different reasons. But this is a spiritual place, and I think that needs to be made very clear.
Well, listen, folks, we've been chatting with Rebecca Scott, and you may want to check out her blog, Big Fun in a Tiny Pueblo. Big Fun in a Tiny Pueblo. If you throw that into Google, you'll find her. And we're looking forward to a memoir coming out. Can we talk a little about that?
Oh, I'd love to. It's called Holy Year. I'm talking to two different agents right now about representing the book, so it's not coming out yet. But it's finished and doing the final work on it. This is my second book I have out, and it's kind of tells the story of why I'm here and what I do here and how this place has changed me and how I've seen this little town be transformed over the last 10 years. There's a lot of Camino books out there, but this one's pretty different.
Yeah,
because
it's written by a Camino busybody, so this is great.
Yeah, and also when you walk through here, and I'll tell this to your listeners too, when you're a pilgrim, feel free to stop here at our house when you come through Martinez. We have 3 beds here, and if you behave yourself, you're welcome to stay.
I love it. Rebecca Scott, it has been a pleasure. What a lovely chat. I thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I hope to see you soon one of these days, and it's an honor to be on your program.
Thank you, Rebecca. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Rebecca Scott, live from the Camino. Stay with us.
I'm just hanging here.